Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.
And welcome to episode 416 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host, Dave, and with me this week is... Daryl, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's been a few weeks since you've been on. What have you been up to?
I'd like to start with something different to switch things up. RoboCroc. So, RoboCroc is a 2013 TV movie, which I watched because you could watch it for free on Prime Video.
Right.
A rocket carrying nanorobots crash lands shortly after takeoff into a zoo. The bots release and find their way into a massive crocodile. The croc, now programmed to kill, will target anything and anyone for its next meal. Cheers.
Excellent.
I mean, I don't know how anyone could read that and not immediately press play. Anyway, so in terms of cast, I'm going to mention one. I'm going to leave another one for a little bit later. You'll understand why. Corin Nemec, which all you nerds out there
yes.
will recognize as someone who joined Stargate SG-1 a few seasons in.
Yes.
Other than that, not really a lot of people who you might immediately recognize. I know you're probably looking at the thing. Don't give it away yet, Dave. Anyway, as you might expect, this movie was perhaps economically made, let's put it that way. The special effects are not amazing, but, you know, it gets the idea over. You sometimes wonder with a lot of these things, are they taking themselves seriously or not? It seems to take itself reasonably seriously.
How? How does a movie like that take itself?
Just do it. It just plays it straight. So anyway, I remember there was a time sort of in the early 2000s where we had the whole, I guess, big animal craze is the way I put it.
Yes.
You know, where you had massive sharks, massive crocodiles with Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, yes.
One thing I found myself checking was like how big the crocodiles actually get. And the answer is surprisingly big. This is like actual measured live crocodile before it died, was 20 feet long.
That's big.
Yes. I checked it through several sources as well just to make sure it wasn't it. Yeah, that's how big they can get. So, you know, in theory, giant alligator chasing you could actually happen. So spare that in mind. But anyway, it's fun. It's dumb. Obviously, it crashes. We get these interesting military people pop into the zoo where Corin Nemec is the head zookeeper. They try to hide things at first. And obviously, eventually it comes out. And it's clear that we have this general sort of guy. And we have someone who she's referred to as a doctor, but she feels like the CIA side of things.
Right.
And she obviously has ulterior motives.
Yes.
And we sort of move through it like that. It's pretty fun. And halfway through, our lead character played by Corin Nemec, this is after they have figured out that this is obviously turned into a monster, RoboCroc. And as his name says, it's slowly turning the crocodile, changing its skin for metal.
Yes, obviously.
Obviously. So halfway through, Corin called out his friend, I guess, who originally helped him find the crocodile and bring it to the zoo, Nigel Evans, who's also another crocodile expert. And this Nigel Evans is played by one Keith Duffy.
Yes.
Now, some of you are pretty young, so that's going to go straight over your head. But anybody sort of my age and up towards Dave's age is going to recognize Keith Duffy as one of the members of Boyzone.
Yes. To be fair to Keith Duffy, he did do an awful lot of episodes of Coronation Street. He was in Coronation Street, so he does have acting experience as well. But yes, when you say Keith Duffy, the first thing that comes to my head is Boyzone. So, yes.
Yeah. Obviously, he pops up to sort of lend a helping hand. and I just sort of looked at it, and I looked at her face, and I went, that guy looks familiar. I don't know why, but he definitely looks familiar. And then I looked up, and the minute I read Keith Duff, I went, yep, I know who that is. As soon as I saw the name, I went, I know who that is. That was hilarious. That definitely brightened things up halfway through the film for me. He's okay in this. He's definitely not bad. He's definitely nowhere near the worst thing in this film. He comes, he does his things, does like a little stunt. So I know if you're missing Boyzone, maybe you want to pop on Robocock and watch that through.
Why not? I mean, it's interesting. The director, who is a man called Arthur Sinclair, it looks like this is the only thing he's ever actually done.
I mean, when you make this sort of quality, you know, you probably know you're never going to do anything better. So I can understand why, you know, one might just retire and just go,
yeah, exactly.
Go out the top.
Also, when you look at the cast list, literally half the cast list of the top cast don't have pictures on their IMDb profiles, which says something as well. I mean, there are a couple of other people. Steve Hartley, he played the Colonel.
Well, to be fair, is I can look through those, and most of those are all, there's like, one of the major things is that near to the zoo is a water park, and so there's like a spring break thing going on. So most of those are young actors.
Right.
So they would have been, at the time, they would have been definitely in their like early 20s. So that's probably why most of those ones don't have pics. They might have moved on from their roles there.
Yeah. Steve Hartley, who's the guy that played the Colonel, actually.
He's in everything. Especially in asylum films, he's all over the place.
Yeah, he's been in loads of things. I mean, he popped up in Shadow and Bone. He was in a few episodes of Brassic. He's done voices for things. He was in The Archers, Called Midwife, he popped up in as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he's a decent jobbing actor. Interesting one. But you say that's on, it's for free on Prime Video, is it?
Yeah. So, obviously, if you already think to Prime, there's no extra cost other than the Prime subscription to access it.
Yes.
To make that clear. If you like being like watching the odd creature feature, go check that out.
Yes. Robocroc.
What's the next one? Next one, let's go from Prime and head over to Netflix. We have V for Vengeance. After learning that their younger sibling escaped an early kidnapping attempt that also killed their parents, two estranged sisters must join forces to rescue her from a group of bloodthirsty vampires.
Right.
My main draw for this was that one of the two sisters that we just mentioned is Grace Van Dien.
Yes.
For all you Stranger Things fans. Mm-hmm. It's not great. It's not bad enough to be anything. It's just a simple, schlocky, fairly cheaply made vampire film. Other highlights is probably Sean Maguire.
I was going to say
turning up as the big bad.
Yes.
He's chewing on the scenery.
Yes.
And Graham Greene. You've definitely seen him in all manner of things, including Echo.
Oh, yes.
Most recently.
Yes.
He played a big role in that.
Yeah.
Just a vampire film. Plotline, just about there. Pretty fun, decent fighting. It's just a funny to watch horror.
Right. That's the second slightly trashy movie you've watched this week.
I mean, hey, I can only watch what's on. Right. So the next thing is something that I've been eagerly waiting for, and that is Code 8 Part 2.
Yes.
Code 8 was a crowdfunded sci-fi started by a short from Robbie Amell and Stephen Amell. Mm-hmm. Back at the beginning of the 20th century, humans started being born with superpowers.
Yeah.
The first thing that they used them as a labor class.
Yes.
Because it was cheaper. So that's how it went until we get up to near the end of the century and machines and automation made them unnecessary. That's when they were just sort of made an underclass. Mm-hmm. Lots of laws were passed regarding what they could and couldn't do. And you can see where we're going with this.
Yeah.
And so into the first Code 8 is we see Connor, who is a young, powered individual. You can see him doing what's equivalent to what we see, the sort of migrant worker wait, where you just be waiting at somewhere and you get picked up for a day job, an undocumented day job, and he's working as hard as he can because his mother is sick. She also has powers, but she has the disease and she's losing control of her powers.
Yeah.
And he falls in with a guy called Garrett, who at the time is a sort of a low-level person involved in the local guy member sort of thing. And he sees something in Connor, which is he's an incredibly powerful, they call him electric. And obviously he can manifest electricity from his body. The first film sort of shows what happens when those two get together and the extreme that Connor goes to. And it sort of ends with the two of them being enemies and splitting. Mm-hmm. When we come into Coronate Part 2, Connor is just coming out of jail. I think he's been away for like 5 years.
Yeah.
We see him speak to the police officer who we see from the first thing. And he hasn't rolled on Garrett. So he hasn't said anything about Garrett during his time. At this point, obviously, he's lost his mother. And that happened at the end of the first film. He's just trying to pick up the pieces. And we see him working as a janitor in a community center. Into his life falls this young woman who saw something she hasn't. Because as we see in Coronate Part 2, things have gotten worse all around. There is a drug that is made from superpower people, which seems pretty nasty. And we can see that the police in the area are very corrupt. Connor finds himself protecting this little girl. He has to get Garrett involved. And obviously everything goes up.
Yes.
It's a very different tone from the first one.
Yeah.
I think in that the first one is we very much see the rise before the fall. You can see Connor getting briefly seduced by the power.
Yeah.
And obviously where that ends up. On this, he just very much wants to be left alone because the police are constantly putting pressure on him to flip on Garrett. Garrett wants him to come back and work for him. It's a lot darker and it's a lot more sort of bleak. You just have this feeling of there's no way that he's going to win, if you get what I mean. Whereas I think you were more hopeful in the first one. So it's a very different feel. It's very film noir, sci-fi noir.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it's definitely something I'd recommend. Some other people who will pop up in it. Alex Malari Jr., who's done quite a few things, but I know him mainly for Dark Matter, the sci-fi
right,
show
yes.
from a few years ago, where he was one of the stars. And Aaron Abrams, former Charizard turned actor, well known for being on Blind Spot.
Yes.
With Jamie Alexander. He's in that season, and he has a comedy at the moment, which I can't quite remember the name of. But yeah, great film. Definitely worth watching. Definitely worth obviously watching the first one if you haven't seen that before. Oh yeah, his show is called Children Own Everything. He's one of the main stars.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed the first movie. I just haven't got around to watching the second one yet. I kind of feel like I might have to go back and watch the first film again because it's been so long since it came out. Mm. So I might go and do a rewatch of that and then watch the
second. It might be worth it. If you haven't kept it in your head, it definitely might be coming back to it.
Yeah.
Just to get an idea of how the city feels.
Yeah.
Nearly every other shot, especially in the first one, you see a drone. And there's just these drones constantly around. Constantly scanning people.
Yeah.
And it's a very much sort of almost an open prison thing that you have.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend it.
Yeah.
Moving on, I decided to watch Damsel on Netflix.
Yes.
That's I remember checking the trailer ages ago when it came out. Millie Bobby Brown, starring vehicle.
Yes.
A dutiful damsel agrees to marry a handsome prince, only to find a royal family has recruited her as a sacrifice to repay an ancient debt.
Yes.
You see at the beginning that Minnie's character is a princess herself. Her name is Elodie in a northern kingdom, and it's winter time. And basically, they're worried that they're not going to make it through until spring. So with her dad, Ray Winston, and stepmother, Anne Sebastian, they get a proposal from a kingdom that they had never heard, well, that Elodie says she'd never heard of, obviously to marry off their oldest daughter, which they accept, jump on a ship. As you do. And the whole family goes to this new kingdom. We have Robin Wright's Queen Isabel in charge, along with King Roderick, played by Milo Toomey. And so they show it in the trailer, so you can mention it, is that it isn't really a marriage that she's going there for.
Right.
We find out that, in fact, she is a sacrifice of sorts. Yes. To a big old dragon who likes to play with the food. So we follow what happens there. And while that is going on, we also learn that there's so much more than we first see. And also we get to see Millie Bobby Brown running around being a badass.
Yeah, which she does rather well. So, you know.
Good performances. It is very much like you spend a lot of time with Millie. The other aspects of the things are sort of inferred because we do see obviously certain characters return. But most of that is you don't see what happened to make that. And yeah, it's pretty good. I was a bit worried because it sort of looked, but no, it's fun. Also, you might recognize the voice of the dragon. Yes, she speaks for any fans of The Expanse will recognize that voice immediately.
Oh, it's her. Yes. I was trying to place her from the photo because I just looked up the name. I'm not going to try and pronounce her name because it's, I don't know, you've probably got a better chance than me.
Oh, so it's Shura Adashalu. And she does great. She's having a lot of fun. That's another pretty cool part of it. But yeah, it's fun. Go watch it.
The other person in there is Nick Robinson, who plays the Prince.
Oh, yeah.
And people may know him if you saw the Love, Simon movie. I think he played Simon in that and did pop up in Love, Victor, the series as well. Mm-hmm. And he's been in a few other things like A Teacher, and he popped up in Boardwalk Empire, I think, as well. So he's been in a few different things, but he plays the Prince in this. Really quite a good cast behind that. I haven't gone to watch it yet, but Millie's great and she's carved out a really good career on Netflix. She seems very happy producing stuff with them, which is good.
Yeah, she has that producer credit, but you know,
yeah,
Juju, good sign. That's exactly what she wants.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. It's like sort of an original fairy tale, which pretty, you know, you could do those sorts of things. Moving on, only one more. A Death and Other Details.
Yes.
Which is Disney Plus here in the UK. I think it's Hulu in the US.
Yes.
Detective Rufus Cotsworth and his protege Imogen dig for the truth on a Mediterranean ocean liner where everyone is hiding something. I started looking at this mainly because I remember I covered it because it's made in Canada.
Right.
But also it stars Violet Bean, who you remember from The Flash and also The Leftovers, as well as Mandy Patinkin, who I don't even think of as Criminal Minds, but has been in so much more, has had a huge,
Homeland
huge career.
What I think of him as, yeah.
And that too. It's a murder mystery. It's all about skewering the rich sort of thing. It's a little more adult than
Glass Onion and Knives Out. Yes.
Yeah. So it's, yes, it possesses a little more adult than that, as you'll see from the first episode.
Yes.
It's fun. There's lots of interesting sort of people are looking at. Yeah, I know who you are. I've seen you in this. I know who you are. Starting with Angela Zhao, who's Teddy, who plays like the manager of the staff, who was in a few episodes of Supergirl. Jack Cutmore Scott, who plays Trip, who is the son of this very rich family. He was in Deception.
Yes.
Which was a procedural show with a twist that's also starred Vinnie Jones.
Yes.
But got cancelled after a season.
He's also in the Frasier revival. Yeah, okay. He plays Frasier's son in that. That's the thing he's doing these days. But yeah, Deception was the other thing.
I've only seen two episodes, but what I've seen so far, I liked it. Yeah, it just feels like a more dog, Glass Onion, Knives Out sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Carb mentioned the cast about mentioning Rahul Kohli.
Yes.
Who plays the owner of this massive ship that they're on.
Yes. From iZombie and the Haunting of things on Netflix as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's great in it. I really, really enjoyed that show. Interesting take on this kind of locked room, Poirot-esque murder mystery sort of thing sat on a cruise ship. I don't know whether they're going to do any more of it, but I rather enjoyed what they did with that. The only thing that slightly put me off, as I mentioned last week, is Mandy Patinkin is doing a British accent and not very well, unfortunately.
Oh, no. He's doing something. That's all. He's certainly doing something. That was the other thing. I was like, do I mention it or not? But no, the accent is horrific.
It is. Absolutely. It is all horrific. Over the place. Yeah. So that, if you're a British person, that's a British accent.
Like, I thought it was supposed to be like rich America. I didn't think it was supposed to be British.
It's supposed to be British. Yes, but it is a bit all over the place, that accent, unfortunately. And there's no real reason for him being British either.
No.
You know, you could have played that American and just done his normal voice and it would have worked perfectly well.
He would have just been like upper-class American and he would have been fine.
Yeah, I would have preferred it if they'd just done that and he lost the accent. But it is what it is in that case. You've just kind of got to try and get past it. But the show itself, I think, is really well put together. It's lots and lots of twists and turns in it and very enjoyable. I mean, there is potential that they could do more of it. Different setting, obviously, but I think there is potential that you could bring those lead characters back and do something else with it. But it was a fun little series, that. I mean, it works perfectly well. It wraps in the one season, so you've not got to worry about, like, if it doesn't come back, that's fine. They've made one little season show. If they make more of it, then yeah, great. They can do more with those characters. So yes, it's on Disney Plus over here. It is worth going. It's all up as well, so you can go and check it out and just binge your way through it.
Yeah, that's all all from me.
For me, I've had a couple of previews this week that I have been watching, so that's taken up some of my time, which was Star Trek Discovery, which isn't out until April the 4th, and it's embargoed at the moment, so I can't really tell you any more about it now, other than I've seen the first few episodes of it. It will be worth watching, though. That's all I will say. I also have seen first few episodes of Twisted Metal as well, which is the new show which is coming to Paramount Plus in the UK. It was a
video game.
Yes, adaptation of a video game, but airs on it was on Peacock in the US as well. That has been excellent, excellent fun. Because Twisted Metal, if you don't know the video game, is essentially a sort of demolition derby thing.
Yeah.
There's no real story to it. And you do kind of wonder, how are you going to turn that into a TV show? The person behind it is Michael Jonathan Smith, Paul Wenrick, and Rhett Rees were the people that developed it. I actually spoke to Michael about it earlier this week. He was just a huge fan of the video game and thought that there was something in there that he could expand into this world. So you're in this post-apocalyptic world where America is divided into sort of these walled communes. So there's, like, you know, one in Los Angeles is one, and like San Francisco is one, and then Chicago is one. And you're following a guy called John Doe, who is what they call a milkman. He's a delivery guy that drives between some of these areas delivering stuff. And that's Anthony Mackie's character. So you'll start off by following him, and he's brilliant in that role. He is very funny, very entertaining. You then see him meet a lady called Quiet, or who he names Quiet because she doesn't really talk very much. It's played by Stephanie Beatrice, who you might know from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's probably the main thing that you know her from. And they end up sort of forming this kind of buddy relationship. You know, it ends up being sort of them not really liking each other, but they're sort of thrown together by circumstance as he's trying to deliver this package. There is a police force that sort of police the roads, which is run by a character called Agent Stone, which is played by Thomas Hayden Church, who, of course, you all know probably from the Spider-Man films. He was Sandman in those, and I mean, he's been in a load of other things as well, but I mean, that's the thing that first comes to mind. And there are elements from the game as well, some of the other characters, most notably Sweet Tooth, which is this sort of rather large, murderous character in a clown mask. It's played by Joe Sinora, who is a professional WWE wrestler, I think. He actually plays the character on screen, but it's voiced by Will Arnett. I think Will Arnett's actually a producer on it as well. It's quite brutal, very over the top, lots of decent stunts, lots of car chases, really, really, really fun. And it's out on the 21st of March on Paramount Plus. I will urge you to go and check it out because it's just hugely, hugely entertaining. Really, really enjoyed the first few episodes that I've seen of that. So if you've not caught that yet, because I mean, it has already been renewed and it has all been out in the US. So if you've not been naughty and looked somewhere else for it, when it comes onto Paramount Plus, go and check it out because it's really, really entertaining. One of the other things that is on Paramount Plus at the moment is Halo Season 2, which I've been watching through. It's on its seventh episode. Have you watched any of this at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't got anywhere near Halo. I'm a PlayStation guy, so it doesn't quite mean to say for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've said before, I played some of the Halo games, but I'm not like a Halo massive fan. I'm not massively into the lore or anything. What I particularly love, I'm really, really enjoying the second season of it. I think one of the criticisms that was leveled after it, after the first season, was the fact that Master Chief takes his helmet off. Master Chief's played by Pablo Schreiber, but he takes his helmet off quite a lot. And they were like, that's not right. It shouldn't happen. What I rather love about the second season was they went, well, we've kind of lost those people anyway, so stuff it. Let's just go on with it. And there's like, there's an arc in this for about three episodes where they take his entire armor away. It's like at this point, they've just kind of gone, well, we've kind of lost those guys anyway. You know, you're either going to go with it or you're not. not, so stuff it. This is what we're going to do. But I think the story works really well. It's soldiers from Halo. It's much about the background of how they were created and what that all means, and this search for the Halo, which is this sort of place of great power. The second season basically is just a straight continuation on from the first, but it just made me laugh that they kind of got to the second season and rather than try and go, okay, we'll keep his helmet on, they just went, yeah, well, you know, we're here now anyway, so let's just go with it. Mm. But yeah, if you can get past that, I really, really rather enjoyed it. I think they've done a great job with it. So it does depend what level of sort of fan of Halo you are, I guess. But as I say, coming at it from somebody who wasn't a huge Halo fan and wasn't that into the lore, as a sci-fi series on its own, I think it does a really, really good job. So I very much enjoyed that. Returning was Invincible for its second season, or the second half of its second season, because, yep. I mean, we had four episodes and then it stopped and then it's back for another four episodes now. I mean, the way they've split this up has been horrible. Everybody would agree, because we had some in November and we've had to wait until like March.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's really killed a show that had a massive amount of momentum.
Yeah, and that is a real, real shame, because I enjoyed the season. I enjoyed the first episode of part two.
Me too, yeah.
I think it's a really fun, well-done adult animated series. You know, it is very violent, but it's incredibly well done. It's well-voiced. The animation's great. It's funny. I hope that when they come back for the next season...
Well, it's already been renewed. Yeah, I guess they could only renew it, but, you know, yeah, hopefully not.
I mean, I think they're actually working on the next season already, which was the entire point of renewing them early, I think. I'm hoping that they will actually put the next season out in one solid group and not do this weird splitting up thing again, because I think that's really been detrimental to it. The story itself has been really, really good. I've very much been enjoying that. So that's back on Prime Video.
It's a shame, because it is a solid, the comic is great, it's an amazing bit of storytelling, but this whole stop start thing has really sort of messed with just the potential viewers. It just comes down to common sense. It's like, if someone tells you go to this place, it has the best burger in town, but it's going to take an hour and a half from ordering to get it, it's like, well, yeah, I just go somewhere else. It's easier. Yeah. Especially in this thing where there's always another TV choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the things that came out this week. Same time as that. It's easy to get lost in all of that choice.
I mean, it would have been better had...
It would have been better had it come out with two episodes. If not all of them, to be honest.
It would have been better if they dropped it all in two blocks. That would have been one thing. But
especially with them. Massive cliffhanger decided to drop on this one, makes you just roll your eyes after you watch it. Are you serious?
Yeah, exactly. They really need to sort that out for the third season, but that's nothing against the show itself. It's more, it's scheduling, and it's weird to complain about scheduling for a streaming service, because that's usually not an issue as much. And I know animation takes time, and I know that's been the problem, but splitting it up was a very bad decision. So
I mean, to say that, but the thing is, we have plenty of other animated shows that managed to crank out things, you know, within like 18 months of the first.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a 2-year wait, plus an extra 3-month wait in the middle to get 8 episodes. Say 8 episodes?
Yeah.
So just hope for better next time. I think at this point, give this up for dead and hope for better next time.
As I said, that's nothing against the show. It's a great show. Go and watch it. It's just the release has been pretty horrible.
I tell you what, it's been so long though, I have forgotten how violent it is. Oh my God.
I don't think anything's quite come up to the level of the finale of season one yet, because that was really quite brutal, but really phenomenal series. Well worth going to check out. One of the other new things that popped up was The Cleaning Lady as well, which randomly got picked up very slowly, but once they announced it had been picked up, it appeared very quickly on Sky, because there was only about a 2-week between them saying, oh, we've got this, and it's airing. It's been very late coming to the UK, because they're on their third season in the US now, and we've only just got season one. But Cleaning Lady stars Elodie Young as a former surgeon. He's now trapped in Las Vegas as an undocumented immigrant due to an expiring visa. The reason that she came to the US was to help her son, who is very, very sick. With all that causing problems, she needs a way to make money and ends up getting involved with the mob and becomes a cleaner for them, cleaning up their messes. And she is using her medical knowledge of sort of how to clean up bloodstains and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that thing that all of us who've watched too many procedurals think we could definitely do.
Yes. It's been really, really good. I loved the opening episode. I thought that was really strong. I can see why it's been sticking around. It's a Fox show in the US. She's great as the lead. Anand Kanto is the guy that plays the sort of gangster that mm-hmm. is for the first two seasons. Tragically passed away earlier this year.
Yeah.
So for age of 42, which is horrible. So not sure what they've done going into the third season without him, but he had cancer of the appendix. So absolutely awful news that he will no longer be around. But just started on Sky Witness for its first season. They are dropping it weekly. I did wonder whether they dropped them as box sets, but they are dropping it weekly. So only seen the first episode of it, but very, very enjoyable drama. Good, solid story. Well worth going to check out. I'm really interested to see where they go with the story of that.
Yeah, it did sort of come to the fore because of, unfortunately, it had Adam Cantu, who was also a Designated Survivor. Mm-hmm. He's a big part of that show. But yeah, it does look interesting. I didn't know that much about the whole pool thing.
It is an interesting story. It's worth going to check that out. But that's going out weekly on Sky Witness. And now, if you've got either of those platforms, you can go and check it out there. Mm-hmm. That's all the stuff we've been watching this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
So on the TV and film news, we start off with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. We have one cancellation ending, which is Power Book 2 Ghost. They've said they're going to end with season 4. However, they have also ordered a new prequel series, which is called Power Origins. So Book 2 Ghost will go, but Power Origins will take over, and Power Origins is going to be a new cast because it's a prequel, and it's going to be the origin story of fan favorite characters Ghost and Tommy for that. They're basically keeping the characters around, but they're going to be new actors, obviously, yeah. Because the actors are going to be a lot younger.
But it's horrible thing, just to show this talk about this little franchise just keeps chugging along. Mm-hmm. With Power Origin, that brings up to 5 separate shows.
Yeah.
Power Book 2, Ghost, Power Book 3, Raising Kanan, and then Power Book 4, which is all about Tommy. Just impressive, because there wasn't that many, well, I can't think of any other franchise with black leads mainly around black characters. Mm-hmm. Find it very impressive, because I always see, oh, they talk about Power this or Power that or something. Sat down and had a little research and saw how many things there are. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's been doing really, really well for them. And I mean, one of the reasons they're bringing this Book 2 to an end is it's interesting because stars who make it have been talking about finding a ways to manage their money carefully, because that is an issue for them at the moment. And one of the reasons that they're ending it is financial. Yeah. But they're also ending it to end that bit of the story, and they think they can do that in the fourth season. But they're reinvesting it into the franchise by making Power Origins and telling this prequel story. Mm-hmm. But that will be cheaper to make because you're not having to up the cast salaries.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of the cast, I guess, from Power are in Power Book 2, which means all their deals keep on growing all that time. And so, yeah, it can get restrictive. Same thing that happened to Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah.
I think of more franchise fees, but yeah. Once it keeps on going, the costs keep going up and up and up, and after a while you just can't get ratings that will match what you need.
Yeah. So it's a way of them sort of, you know, they're making 3-4 seasons of the show, but then they're reconfiguring it to keep the franchise alive, but doing something different with it. And I think, you know, they're being very upfront about it. They've said, yeah, there is a financial implication to it. So that's what we're doing. So we're keeping the characters around, but we're going to do younger versions of them. So it'll be a new cast and that sort of stuff. So I think as long as it gets to end its story, which they seem to be saying it is going to do, then why not? It's a way of them managing their finances for it. And unfortunately, these things can't go on forever. But as long as they're doing it respectfully and they're not leaving it on some massive cliffhanger, I'm quite all right with that. In terms of renewals, we have got a number of them this week. The Bear, I think it comes as no surprise, has been renewed for a full season, given that's been an awards darling and made huge stars out of the cast. So that's been renewed for a full season by FX on Hulu. That runs on Disney Plus over here, so that's going to be back. BBC has renewed Shetland for 2 more seasons. So despite the fact that they changed the lead last season, that seems to have really boosted the numbers. Yeah, it was a huge hit for the last season, and 2 more seasons that's now got. So that will be shooting more. Fire Country's been renewed for a 3rd season, and Ghosts, the US version of Ghosts, has been renewed for a 4th season at CBS. So both of those will be back. Fire Country's sort of found its feet a little bit. It was a little bit of a shaky start for that show, I'll be honest, but there was a bit of sort of over-exposition in the first episodes and slightly clunky acting, but I think they've started to find a groove with it, and it's turned into a reasonable procedural, that. So that's going to be back for a 3rd season, and the ratings are doing great as well. And Ghosts, I mean, much as I love the UK version, and I really do, and I will miss that terribly, the US version is a really, really solid version of it, and they are very clever in how they take things in a slightly different direction. They've expanded the mythology of it. You've got different types of ghosts over there. They've made it work for an American audience. Gives it a slightly different vibe to the UK version. I think they're doing a wonderful job with that. So I'm glad that's back for a full season as well. Have you watched either of those?
I have not seen either of those. Like, yeah, I do know Fire Country is filmed in Canada as well. But yeah, don't know much more about it other than that. Other than it seems to be doing pretty well in the US. They seem to quite like it.
And Netflix have renewed Black Mirror for a 7th season, which is going to be another 6 episodes. And one of those episodes is going to be a sequel, their first ever sequel, I think, in Black Mirror, to the infamous USS Callister episode, which was fantastic, which was the sort of Star Trek take with a very sort of dark Charlie Brooker twist to it. They're going to be doing their first sequel in the next season. I think that will draw his eyes to it. I think season 6 was a bit mixed. I mean, they tried a few new things. They added more horror stuff into it, and they tried a few things which they've not really done with Black Mirror before, which, you know, I think some of it worked, some of it didn't. But that's always the great thing about Black Mirror. Even if you only like a couple of the episodes and they really stand out to you, it's sort of worth having it because they're not afraid to try and maybe fail on some of those. I think it's a really, really interesting show. I love Charlie Brooker's writing and just really odd, twisted take on the world. But I'm very happy to have that back for another season because, you know, it's an anthology, so each episode's very, very different. Have you been watching any of those?
I've literally only ever watched one episode of Black Mirror, and that was the one with Mackenzie Davis. Yes, San Junipero. There we go.
Yes.
Because everybody was talking about it at the time. So I went, okay, yes, I'll watch it. It was great.
That's a great episode. And the others are really, really good. I mean, it is worth going back to the start and watching through those episodes because some of them you will like, some of them you might not. But that's the wonderful thing about Black Mirror is doesn't really matter because the next episode is going to be something completely different anyway. Mm-hmm. So there are some great episodes episodes in the sort of whole six season run so far. So the sixth season overall, I think, was probably a little weaker than some of the previous seasons, but there were some good episodes in that as well. I'd be interested to see what he's going to do for the seventh, certainly. And the original USS Callister episode is certainly one that it's worth going to check out if you've not caught that episode. I would go and specifically watch that before the seventh season comes out. In pickups and advanced air dates, Professor T, season 3, has an air date for the third season. That's 27th of March at 9 p.m. on ITV. That will land, that's Ben Miller and Francis de la Tour back, which I think he's taking a slightly different direction, because I think he starts up locked up in prison for that one after the events of season 2, which, so that's not a spoiler, it was in all the press stuff, so yes, not seen that show, but
I know that I've never seen the show.
Yeah, no, he was in all the press stuff, and there was a picture of him, I mean, like, literally the press release is a picture of him in a prison uniform holding like blankets and stuff. So that will be back on the 27th of March for season 3 on ITV. Late Night Lycett, that has an air date for its second season. That was wonderfully fun and anarchic. That 12th of April, that live Friday night show is back. Very much the sort of TFI Friday, stupid, silly, over-the-top late night chat show that Channel 4 used to do very, very, very well. And it's very much back in that mold. Really enjoyed the first season of that. It's very silly. Shot in Birmingham as well. So Joe in his hometown. And really, really fun. So Late Night Lycett, 12th of April for the second season of that at 10 p.m. on Channel 4. Doctor Who, season 14, or season 1, as they're also referring to it as, depending on how you're counting, or season 100 and something, I don't know what it is from the right from the beginning. But yeah, it is technically, I think, being referred to as season 1 because it is a new era with Russell C. Davis and Shooty coming in, starring this. That will have a slightly different premiere schedule, which has some people up in arms for reasons that I don't quite understand, because it means we get it earlier than we would normally. So midnight Saturday the 11th of May, it will launch with a double bill on iPlayer. It will then go out as it normally would on Saturday evening. So it just means that if you want to watch it on BBC One, you'll you'll be able to watch it normal slot on Saturday night, although there will be two episodes, so it's going out as a double bill. However, you will also be able to get up Saturday morning or stay up Saturday night and go and watch it directly on iPlayer. The reason for that is because of the deal with Disney Plus, they wanted it to go out worldwide at the same time. So worldwide, or in America, for example, it will be May 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Disney Plus, but that is midnight over here, so it is a global launch at the same time. So Saturday 11th of May over here at midnight on iPlayer, and then in the evening of that Saturday as well. It's going to launch with two episodes, and then it will continue to follow with one episode a week after that. And that will be the schedule going forward. So it will drop on midnight on Saturday, and then will air on Saturday evenings as well. So your choice where you go and watch it. You can watch it as normal on Saturday, or you can go and watch it at midnight. Now, it's entirely up to you. Obviously, just need to get off social media if you're watching it.
Yes.
So go and watch it Saturday morning, or avoid social media for the Saturday, which is not an unhealthy thing to do. So go. So maybe go and do that. That's basically it. The new season of Doctor Who with Shooty and Millie, that is launching on the 11th of May in the UK. Very much looking forward to that. I think Shooty did a wonderful job, and I think Millie was great as well. So, I mean, I know that there's been lots of reports about her only staying around for one season, but that's fine if that is the case. I mean, we don't know. I'm not going to get into the rumours about why that is, because we don't know. May have been that was the contract all along. We have no idea, but we'll wait and see for that. It may be that there are fake stories that they've put out there and she's staying around for longer. We just don't know. Sticking with the BBC, they've announced an air date for all six episodes of Stephen Knight's music drama This Town, which is this sort of 80s set ska drama that they're coming out of. This looks like it could be quite an interesting show. And of course, it's Stephen Knight, the man behind Peaky Blinders. This looks like it's going to be quite good. It's a pretty much a young, not particularly well-known cast as the leads for it. It's set and shot around Birmingham as well. Tells the story of a band's formation against the backdrops of violence, capturing how creative genius can emerge from a time of madness. Both a high-octane thriller and family saga, it opens in 1981 in a moment of huge social tension and rest. Against this backdrop, it tells the story of a young group of people fighting to choose their own path in life and each in need of a second chance that music offers. It's Jordan Bolger in there, Levi Brown, Ben Rose, Eve Austin, Brendan Gibson in there, who's also in Peaky Blinders, George Sumner, who's in This Is Gonna Hurt in Sex Education. Nicholas Pinnock as well. Michelle Doherty and David Dawson are the other three as well. Nicholas Pinnock, who was in Marcella and Life, and Michelle Doherty was in Downton Abbey and Anatomy of a Scandal. Great cast. Written and exec produced by Stephen Knight, who of course did Peaky Blinders and Rogue Heroes as well, was the other thing. And also with the creator of C, the Jason Momoa series on Apple TV. So, I mean, he's got a very, very good track record behind him. He is a fantastic creator of this sort of stuff. He actually built a film studio in Birmingham, which they're using to shoot things like the Peaky Blinders movie, but this is the first thing that they shot there. And it's called This Town. It's premiering on iPlayer from 6 a.m. on Sunday, the 31st of March. And we'll have a double premiere with episodes 1 and 2 airing Sunday, the 31st of March on BBC One from 9 p.m. And then Monday, the 1st of April will be the second episode. But all 6 episodes will premiere on iPlayer from Sunday, the 31st of March. If you want to go and binge your way through them, that's going to be up there. Into your ska music?
Not really, but it's just like an interesting show.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting one to check out, that one. And just announced as well, we've got Star Wars The Acolyte, which we haven't heard anything about. Like when I updated the listing for this, last time I updated it, I think it was 2020. So 2024, this is coming out. Star Wars The Acolyte, which is the first live action TV show which is shot in the High Republic era. So it takes place in an era that we've not seen anywhere on screen before in animation or in live action. It's only been in the comic books up until now. Tuesday, the 4th of June, that is coming to Disney Plus worldwide. It's called Star Wars The Acolyte. Stars Lee Jun-jae, who was in Squid Game, and Amanda Stenberg, who was in Dear Evan Hansen and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And Jun-jae is playing a respected Jedi Master who is investigating a shocking crime spree that sets him against a dangerous warrior from his past, which is Amanda Steinberg's character. As more clues emerge, they travel down a dark path where sinister forces reveal all is not what it seems. It's got great cast as well. Manny Chinenko from The Good Place is in there. Daphne Keane from Logan and His Dark Materials. Charles Barnett from Russian Doll and You. Jodie Turner-Smith from Last Ship and Sex Education. Rebecca Henderson from Single Drunk Female and Russian Doll. Dean Charles Chapman from Game of Thrones and 1917. Jonas Samanto, who wouldn't necessarily recognise him face, he's the guy that took over the role of Chewbacca. Although he's playing a different Wookiee in this, he is still playing a Wookiee character. And Carrie Ann Moss, the legend from the Matrix films, and Jessica Jones is also in there as well. So really, really, really solid cast. High Republic era is about sort of 500 to 100 years before the Battle of Yavin. And it's when the Jedi are at their height and the Republic is its height. It's very much a golden age, which sees the Jedi Order spread far and wide across the galaxy as the Republic is expanding and exploring the Outer Rim territories. So it's a really interesting period of time. The comic books, which are canon as well, are the only place that we've seen this world so far. So
there are books, there are just normal books as well. Yes, I've read them.
Yes, there are normal books as well, you're right. It's from Leslie Headland, who was the person behind the wonderfully bonkers Russian Doll, along with Natasha Lyonne. I'm really, really looking forward to this. She is a wonderful, wonderful showrunner. It's a really, really good cast. 4th of June for The Acolyte, that is coming out. So that is going to be one worth checking out, I think.
Definitely looking forward to that, because I've read quite a few of the High Republic stuff. So it's an interesting sort of new look at the Force and things like that. Should be fun.
Yeah, should definitely be. I haven't read the novels, but I have read a lot of the comic books. So I'm familiar with a lot lot of the sort of stuff of that era. So yeah, certainly worth looking at some of the surrounding material. And as I say, it is all canon within this universe. Whether any of that stuff will show up in The Acolyte, I don't know. But there are canon stuff in comic book and book forms that you can check out for the High Republic era as well. But yeah, 4th of June for The Acolyte. Few of the bits of other news. We talked a bit about Harlan Coben's Missing You, which is one of the two new Harlan Coben shows coming to Netflix. And Rosalind Elazar was announced last week as being the lead in it. They've now announced the rest of the cast, and it's a ridiculous, ridiculous amount of people that they've thrown into this so far. And they said there are more coming as well. I am beginning to wonder what dirt Richard Armitage has on Key Street Studios that make this, or Danny Brocklehurst who makes these, because he's been in like four of them now. So he's like, he's kind of become the unofficial mascot of the Harlan Coben series on Netflix. So Richard Armitage is going to be back in this one. You've also got Jessica Plummer from EastEnders, Sir Lady Henry of being Sir Lady Henry, Steve Pemberton from Inside Number 9 and Happy Valley and League of Gentlemen is in there. Paul Kay, who you'll know from things like Sexy Beast, The Stranger, Game of Thrones, I think, popped up in as well, and a million other things. Samantha Spyro from Sex Education on Ridley Road. You've got Lisa Faulkner, who was in Archie and Unforgotten, and was also in Spooks as well, I seem to remember.
She's Spooks, yeah.
I seem to remember her getting killed in a rather horrific fashion in Spooks as well.
Yeah, Spooks didn't mess around.
yeah, no, they really didn't. So, of course, Richard Armitage, who was also in Spooks, but has been in, like I say, become the unofficial mascot for the Harlan Coben on Netflix series. And Mary Malone, who was in Doctor Who and The Prince and been in various other things as well. They've also got Charlie Hamblett, who was in Killing Eve and Around the World in 80 Days, Oscar Kennedy, who's in Wreck, Breeders and Outlander, Bridget Zargini, who was in Prosper and The Artful Dodger, Catherine Ayers, who was in The Way and Keeping Faith, Felix Garcia Gaya, who was in Sanctuary, and Joe Martin, who of course people will probably know as the Renegade Doctor from Doctor Who, and he's also in the Marlowe Murder Club and a whole bunch of other things as well. That's the casting so far for that. I mean, there seems to be like thousands of people coming into this show, so I don't know whether they've all got like very, very small roles or what, but Rosalind Elazar is the main lead in this. This is one of two that they are making, but this will be the first one. This is the first one of the two that they ordered to go into production. It's from Victoria Azay-Archer, who worked on Stay Close. She's the writer behind it as well. And Sean Spencer, who worked on A Town Called Malice and The Lazarus Project, is the lead director for it. These have been great, though, these Harlan Coben shows. Have you watched any of those?
The only one I've seen was Shelter on Amazon Prime, not one of these Netflix ones. Okay.
The Netflix ones are well worth watching. They're really, really good. So that's going to be the next one. That's the casting for that. There is a ridiculous amount of people. Moving over, we've had a bits of Doctor Who news throughout this episode, but we've now got an ex-Doctor who has turned his hand to a game show. They've got David Tennant is apparently hosting a new ITV game show called The Genius Game, which you might not remember this. Do you remember a show called The Krypton Factor?
Yes, I do remember Krypton Factor.
It sounds a bit Krypton Factory, this, because it's a brand new reality show which will see strategically minded players chosen not for just their high intellectual prowess, but also their social IQ, face the ultimate battle of survival. To win, contestants will participate in a host of never-before-seen games, all designed not only to test their intellectual acumen, but encourage them to carefully and creatively use the art of manipulation to outfox their opponents and win a cash prize. So it sounds like there is sort of an element of the Krypton Factor in there and an element of the Traitors as well. I mean, they've got a big name to host it. Don't know exactly when that's dropped, but it's called The Genius Game. It's going to be coming to ITV. Could be the next National Lipception. I'm sure that's what they're hoping for. Anyway, they've announced that and David Tennant will be hosting it. So that will be one to look out for on ITV. That's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week on TV, and there are quite a few, actually. We've got the long-awaited X-Men 97 that is landing for its first season, or, well, depends if you... I think there were six seasons of the original show or something, but first of the new animated show, which follows on that storyline, that's coming to Disney Plus on the 20th of March, following the 90s timeline, 90s cartoon animated timeline. Palm Royale, coming to Apple TV, which is a true underdog story story that follows Maxine Simmons, played by Kirsten Wiig, as she endeavours to break into Palm Beach High Society. That's also coming on the 20th of March. That's on Apple TV, called Palm Royale. Mm-hmm. Hightown, season one of that, coming to Alibi on the 20th of March at 10 p.m. Sat on Cape Cod series follows one woman's journey to sobriety intertwined with an unfolding murder mystery. That
stars Monica Raymond, who started one of my favourite ever shows, Lie to Me.
Yes, I love that
she
show.
She was also in one of the Fires phase.
Right, okay.
We actually really liked it in Lie to Me. That definitely should have been renewed to watch more than like the 3 or 4 seasons that you got.
Yes, absolutely should have done more. Hightown previously did air on Stars Play / Lionsgate Plus, but this is the first time it's had a sort of terrestrial airing. Mm-hmm. So it's coming onto Alibi on 20th of March, called Hightown, and that's 20th of March at 10 p.m. for that. Twisted Metal, as we talked about earlier, 21st of March on Paramount Plus for that. Live action action comedy based on the video game, starring Anthony Mackie. It is really, really, really good. Very, very funny, anarchic, over the top, highly enjoyable. Go and check that out. It's real great fun with the first few episodes of it. So Twisted Metal on Paramount Plus, 21st of March for that. Then we have the return of the FBIs. So FBI Season 6, Sky Witness, 21st of March at 9 p.m. And then FBI International Season 3, that starts on Sky Witness, 21st of March at 10 p.m.
Yeah, I like that one.
If you're wondering about Most Wanted, a few days later, 26th of March at 9 p.m, that lands for Season 5. As I mentioned before, when we've talked about this, they are in the correct order. It's just 26th of March is a Tuesday, I think. Although it is airing the following week, it's airing before the other two come back for their second episodes. So it is the correct order in being FBI International Most Wanted. So those are the FBIs. Three Body Problem, the adaptation of the renowned Chinese sci-fi novel trilogy. That is coming to Netflix on the 21st of March. Fair warning, it is from the people that ruined Game of Thrones. So...
you just went in there, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah.
So this is about as hard science can get. I've read the first book. If you like that sort of thing, really hard science, it's definitely worth considering. I do know there is also one of the networks has bought the original Chinese version of the adaptation of that novel. It's coming out around the same time, at least in the US. The thing is that obviously the book is mostly set in China. It does have an international cast, but all the main stuff does happen from the perspective of Chinese characters. So I don't know. It just depends whether or not that makes a difference to you. Obviously, in this one, the Three Body Problem, it's more international. So that's why I point that out.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. So I will go and check that out with interest. But I'm dubious, given that those people are behind it, given what they did to Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But, well, it is a complete series. That is true.
Yes. Yes. That is true. The advantage they do have is they have something to work from for this, because they're not waiting for George to finish the damn book. So Three Body Problem, season one, 21st of March on Netflix for that. Beyond Paradise returns for its second season. That's Chris Marshall back as D.A. Humphrey Goodman. That's on BBC One on the 22nd of March at 8 p.m. SWAT returns for its 7th and final season, although, as we established from the interview, which you did, not if he gets his way, but Shimamo really does not want that show to finish. But at the moment, SWAT back for its 7th and final season. Sky Max, 24th of March at 9 p.m. on there. You did, of course, interview Shamar a few weeks ago.
I did indeed, but you can still head over either to our YouTube or access it via website, which I'll give you in a bit.
Yes, so go and check that out as well if you're a fan of SWAT. But yes, you could definitely tell he didn't want the show to
end. Adamant,
definitely. Wreck, season 2, that's the horror comedy set aboard a cruise ship. That returns to BBC 3 on the 26th of March. FBI Most Wanted, as mentioned, 26th of March as well, 9 p.m. on Sky Witness. And Professor T, as we mentioned earlier, that lands on the 27th of March at 9 p.m. for its third season as well. That is all the stuff we've got coming next week. So some interesting stuff there. Twisted Metal, like I say, definitely worth looking at. Three Body Problem, I will watch with interest. SWAT, I'm glad to have back. I don't really watch the FBIs, but I know a lot of people would be happy to have that back.
Yes, and, I mean-
Yes, and X-Men 97 I might go and check out as well.
I'll be watching that, yeah.
That's all the stuff coming next week. If people want to find you in the meantime, where can they find you?
So they can head over to hollywoodnorthnews.net and check things out. So we have been recently talking about Hallmark, have changed up how they do things and are now much more invested in their Hallmark mysteries offerings than they used to be. Obviously, we talked about my interview with Shamar Moore, and that's going out. We also did an interview with the cast of Elsbeth, which is a Good Wife, Good Fight spinoff.
Yes.
I'm sure someone will snap that up over here soon. It's got a very weird thing where it had its premiere and then it was off for like 2 months, and now it's coming back with two more episodes.
Right.
So it's a little odd.
Yes.
I don't know what to think about that, but I got to see the pilot and it was great. It was a really, really fun show.
Yeah, that's going to be quite interesting, I think. I know there's a lot of interest in that one, certainly. So I'm sure somebody will pick it up over here. But yeah, go and find all that stuff over on HollywoodNorthNews.net and all the other stuff that Daryl does is over there. For other people involved in the show, Bex, as we mentioned each week, she is still on hiatus, so you won't find Bex anywhere. I've some Tristabytes on various platforms, but she's not really posting on social media at the moment. Matt, you can go and find on entertainmenttalk.org for lots and lots more podcasts as well. I'm sure there'll be some Man U news around this week as well. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, on Blue Sky at Geektown, on Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.